Advent is a confusing time. Everyone is singing Jingle Bell Rock. And we come to church and we hear people will faint from fear and foreboding for all that is happening in the world and in the heavens. Advent is a time that we devote to considering what God is doing, for us to see the transforming work that God has done, that God is doing, and that God brings near to us in our world. Advent is an invitation for us to see what God is doing and an invitation for us to participate in the redeeming work of God. There's one thing about that passage from Luke I just read for you that I need to point out. That in that passage, in those words, distressing and disturbing as they are, Luke does not describe God's transforming work. Luke does not discuss Jesus or God's redemption that comes to us through Jesus. But Luke simply counsels us to watch the signs so we will be prepared to receive and to participate in God's advent, God's coming, whenever and wherever and however it occurs. Luke does not talk about God's redemptive presence, but he talks about the signs and the warnings of it. Well, one day about mid-afternoon, the front door slammed and there was a rush up the stairs. The man sitting in his living room looked at the clock and realized that it was time for his daughter to come home from school. Fourth grade was not going very well, and from the sound of the door slamming, today was not a good day. So he went up to her room and asked about what had happened. She said, "It was awful." And then she filled in the details. When she unzipped her backpack at the beginning of the day, her homework was nowhere to be found. Her normally charming teacher had snarled at the class. The morning dragged on to lunch when nothing in the cafeteria looked very good. The class went outside to the playground and her best friend decided to play with someone else. And to top it all off, a big kid named Kevin had made fun of her on the bus. "It was a rotten day," she sobbed. And her dad held her. And after about 10 minutes, she stopped quivering and crying, and he rubbed her back and she blew her nose. And then he went back downstairs. But after half an hour, he decided that it sounded just a little bit too quiet upstairs. So he sneaked back up the stairs, and there he saw her, down on her knees with her hands clasped and her eyes closed, and she was muttering something. "Honey, is everything all right?" he said. "I'm okay, Daddy. I'm just praying." "That's good," he said. "What are you praying for?" "Dad, I've decided that I don't like this world, and I'm praying for a new one." Just like that. Well, whether that little fourth grader knew it or not, cute as she was rooting herself in thousands of years of Christian tradition. For ever since Jesus appeared among us, and from long before, the people of God have prayed for a whole new world. That's what lies behind the scripture text, like the one you just heard from Luke. Jesus is speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem. "The day is coming," he said, "when the temple will be dismantled, not one stone upon another. The city will be circled by armies, and people will be forced to flee to the mountains. All that is familiar and settled will be disrupted, and the powers of heaven will be shaken." And when that happens, Jesus says, notice the most startling remark in the whole text, when all of this upheaval and all of this nastiness is happening, Jesus says, "Stand up, raise your heads, for your redemption is near." No matter what is happening around you, maintain your confidence in God. No matter how terribly your life is falling apart, pin your hopes on God. In the midst of all this distress and everything falling apart, stand up. Raise your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. What we are doing in this season of Advent is nurturing within ourselves the sneaking suspicion, the growing awareness, the building restlessness that this world and the way it is not what God has in mind. God is beginning, even now, in us, working another world. According to the person and the passion of Jesus, God is at work, bringing our redemption closer to us. Indeed, it is our conviction that God is already at work in us and in our world, remaking us, transforming, redeeming. And our Christian calling is to work cooperatively with God in this transformation endeavor. Our calling is to do all that we can to discern and perceive what God is doing, how God is at work, and then to tailor our lives so that we are working cooperatively with God toward the same end that God is working. And God seeks, as is evident from Luke's 21st chapter, God seeks to transform our world and to transform us. In fact, it is the mission statement of every United Methodist church, wherever it is. Every United Methodist congregation has the same primary mission statement. And our mission is this: to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that is a statement that binds us directly to what Luke is telling us here. God's work is to transform the world, to transform us. And our task is to work cooperatively with God in that transformation. But I have a concern for you this morning, something that I've been struggling with myself and on your behalf. God's work is to transform us and to transform our world. But do we want God's transformation? Do we really want to be changed? Do we want to be transformed? There are days, certainly, when you are caught up and I am caught up in petty jealousies among family members and mean-spirited backbiting among neighbors and poverty and overconsumption and violence and destruction and racism and hatred. And it would be nice to throw all of that away. That's what I pray for. But I think that deep within us, we still have a problem with the transformation that God seeks to work in us. We have a problem with this idea because you and I are powerful people. We are abundantly rich. We are exceedingly comfortable. And thus, we are not much interested in having our world changed. Not much interested in having our lives and our world transformed, even by God, because we are so very comfortable with where we are and who we are. And so it is. It's a struggle for us. You remember, don't you, how Jesus had most trouble with those in his day who were rich, who were comfortable, the religious people of his day who had life set up and structured just the way they wanted it, just the ways that would meet their needs. Remember how they were willing to tell others what was wrong with their lives, but they were not willing to look at themselves? I fear, my friends, that you and I are in that role now. If we are able to look at ourselves honestly and deeply, we are among those who want to be the transformers, but we don't necessarily want to be the transformed. Because we are afflicted with such wealth and burdened with such comfort. Advent comes upon us and asks us to take a bold and sharp look at who we are and whose we are. Advent asks us the questions, are you ready enough? Are you open enough to receive the transformation, the redemption, the newness that God has to offer you? Are you ready to let go of who you are and what you are so that God can make you into what God needs you to be? Are you able to trust God enough to relinquish this old world and to embrace that which God is bringing, but that which is not yet? Are you able to let go and to trust, to give yourself? That's what Advent is all about. Preparing us to recognize and receive the transformation, the redemption, the salvation that God offers us in Jesus Christ. Advent reminds us that we celebrate what has occurred in the Nativity, but we also celebrate that which God is doing and which God has yet to do in our world. Well, I want to promise you that next Sunday, we will look specifically at some of those glimpses that God gives us of God's transforming and redeeming work and what we and our community of faith and our world look like when God has God's ways with us. But I don't have forever to talk today, so I have to postpone that till next week. However, there is one more important thing, one vitally important thing we need to do and that I need to say to you before I finish with this thought. Today, however, Jesus tells us that the place where we can go, He tells us that there is a place where we can go and experience something of the transformation that God has in mind for us. There is a place where we can go, where Jesus is our host, where all the differences between us are erased and we stand equally and together before God. There is a place where we can go where our sin is blotted out and Jesus' righteousness cleanses us all. There is a place where we can go and experience that presence of Christ in a way that it's not available to us in other places. And that place is the Lord's table, which we dare to approach in just a moment. I invite you to consider, as we commune today, the ways that God may be seeking to transform you and your life, the ways that God is seeking to transform our world, and simply ask yourself that question. Am I willing for God to take hold of me? Am I available for God to use me? Am I courageous enough to give up some of my comforts and some of my satisfaction and some of my wealth so that God can deploy me in the ways and the means that God needs me to proclaim His coming kingdom in our world? As we approach the Lord's table, we come as a family of faith, the redeemed of God. But when we come, we make ourselves available to God, that God might use us in God's endeavor. Hold those things in mind as we hear God's word of judgment and God's word of hope that He speaks to us as He hosts us at His table. Amen.